You may have heard this on the news there. A report on the reform of abortion legislation has recommended a change in the law. A Department of Health and a Department of Justice working group report has been released on fetal abnormality. This report from 2016. Here's a reminder of what you heard during the 11 o'clock news.
The decision was taken to publish the report in the public interest given the absence of a devolved government at Stormont. It recommends the law should be changed to provide for termination of pregnancy where the abnormality is of such a nature as to be likely to cause death either before birth, during birth, or in the early period after birth. It also states, where a diagnosis has been made, it is to be accepted that the continuance of such a pregnancy poses a substantial risk of serious adverse effect on a woman's health and well-being. Currently, abortion is only allowed in Northern Ireland if the mother's life is at risk.
A report from Ricky Thompson. Now, the Stormont abortion report, as we say, recommending a change in the law. It is a key report on the reform of abortion legislation. The Department of Health, the Department of Justice, a working group, quite a high-powered working group, bringing this to fruition, the report. We're surprised to some extent that we get a report like this when we don't have a minister. However, time waits for no man, I suppose. David Ford is a former justice minister and who's very much in favour of moving on this issue in relation to fetal abnormality is on the line. David Ford, do you see this as justification of your policies some time ago?
Well, some time ago, as Minister of Justice, following a Department of Justice consultation, I produced proposals for the executive which would have allowed abortion in the case, as you said, of fetal abnormality. The executive didn't allow that to go forward. There was significant opposition from DUP ministers. There was then an attempt in the Assembly to amend the Justice Bill by two of my colleagues, purely in a personal capacity, but nonetheless two Alliance colleagues, and that failed in the Assembly as well, with various arguments being made about inadequate information and so on. There was a row around the executive when Arlene Foster said that she had instructed the Health Minister to set up a working party to review the law when it was an issue which was largely for justice and a minority part for health. So after a row at the executive, we agreed to a joint working party being set up. And I'm pleased that that joint working party, with the involvement of significant figures from health and social care, has agreed with the conclusions that the Department of Justice officials reached some time earlier. It's just rather tragic that since I sought to make progress almost 3 years ago, we have seen a lack of progress. And Dave knows how many women have been traumatized in Northern Ireland because they've been given that dreadful diagnosis that the fetus they're carrying has no prospect of a viable life, and yet they're not allowed a termination within Northern Ireland. Obviously, some women will wish to carry it to full term, and they must be supported. But for those who can't carry, I believe that they're entitled to have an abortion at home.
Now, this group was chaired by the Northern Ireland Chief Medical Officer, Michael McBride, as we've suggested, included senior health workers. They held meetings with medical professional bodies and with women and their families who had experience of fetal abnormalities. I suppose the Sarah Hewitt story was the biggest story of all that brought this to the limelight. And you've suggested there that other women will have gone through a similar experience. Will they continue to go through similar experiences, considering we have no government? A report is one thing, legislation's another.
Well, sadly, until we get legislation in place, there are no grounds other than to slightly correct what was said in the 11 o'clock news. A serious threat, not just to the life, but to the long-term physical and mental health of the woman. So the grounds are slightly wider than you suggested in the news bulletin, but they are still very narrow by comparison with any other jurisdiction in these islands, it appears, as we look at the potential changes in the Republic.
The report recommending the change, even if we had a government, doesn't guarantee change.
No, it doesn't. But I think it is clear that what we have seen, for those who objected to the consultation being carried out by the Department of Justice alone, we have now seen the full involvement of health professionals as well, because many people wished abortion to be considered as a health issue. And we have seen this joint working party making a firm recommendation endorsing what the Department of Justice sought to do in 2014-2015. So it clearly does provide a bit better cover, but obviously a legislature is required to actually implement it.
You will continue to get objections from, you mentioned the DUP, you'll get objections from the Catholic Church.
Well, and indeed that was part of the consultation process that I carried out, that I had meetings with the four main churches, as well as various other interested groups. And clearly there are those who have a moral and theological objection to abortion in any circumstances. I took the view that in these extremely narrow circumstances where two suitably qualified doctors certify that it is their belief that there is no prospect of a viable life for the fetus, that it was appropriate to progress there, even though many people would not wish to go any further than that. Obviously, a lot of people would also wish to go further than that. I was seeking to deal with the issue that was presented to me, specifically when Sarah Ewart had the courage to highlight her case. And one can well understand why the great majority of women do not want to highlight their personal circumstances when they're facing such trauma.
Considering what might be coming down the line in the Republic, and of course there is the referendum and there'll be much heated debate and discussion before that referendum is held, and where we are with our legislation and the variety of mindset that there would be in Northern Ireland, do you believe, as a former justice minister, that we're closer to abortion being available on the island of Ireland than we ever were?
Well, it's not up to me to second guess the people of the Republic in a referendum, but it does appear to be that opinion polls would suggest that the constitution is likely to be amended to allow legislation to go through the Oireachtas, which would permit abortion in certain circumstances. It appears more limited than is the case in England, Wales and Scotland, but nonetheless a significant extension of abortion compared to what Ireland has had up to now. So there are clearly issues where people are looking at difficult and traumatic sometimes situations in detail, considering how best to meet the needs of the woman facing such difficult circumstances. And obviously there are a huge range of views from the most pro-life to the most pro-choice. And what I was certainly seeking to do was to deal with one specific problem, because I recognised that there was very little prospect of getting legislation through the Assembly which would have dealt with, for example, other issues like pregnancy as a result of sexual crime.
And this does not relate to pregnancy as a result of sexual crime. There's no report on that. Do you think that is still a bridge much too far for the Northern Ireland thought process, the lobbying groups that exist here?
Well, I think it is the key issue is it is extremely difficult to prove satisfactorily within the necessary timescale that a sexual crime has occurred. And that is, I think, for example, why the proposals in the Republic would allow abortion in almost any circumstances, appears to me, up to 12 weeks, because there simply isn't the prospect of proving it. When the Department of Justice consultation was carried out in Northern Ireland, we made recommendations to allow abortion in the case of a fatal fetal abnormality. We also sought opinions on the issue of sexual crime, because department officials couldn't see any way of tackling that particular issue. And the result of the consultation was that we were no further forward in how we dealt with the specific issue of sexual crime.
And just finally, could this working group recommendation be signed off in the meantime by the British government for here?
Well, it appears at the moment that we have a Secretary of State who is reluctant to do anything other than ensure the finances are in place, whether it be agreeing the budget or agreeing the regional rate through Westminster, or indeed cutting MLA salaries, where she now has power from a Westminster bill. Other than that, the Secretary of State has been unwilling to deal with other issues, including, for example, the urgent issue of somebody writing to five party leaders to ask them to appoint 10 MLAs to the policing board. So if she's not willing to do that, I can't see that there is any early prospect, while we hope to see devolution restored, that legislation would be taken at Westminster unless it was taken by a private member at Westminster. I think that's fairly unlikely. The important issue for me is to see real efforts on the part of the two governments, the five parties, and I hope with an independent facilitator who would bring talks together who would ensure that we can get devolution restored as soon as possible, and then Northern Ireland people would be served by a Northern Ireland Assembly meeting their needs.
Okay, David Ford from the Alliance Party, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
The former Justice Minister, David Ford, talking about that news that is to the fore this morning.